When we talk about state lands, there's three main categories. State fee lands, this is sovereign land where the state owns both the surface and mineral estate. The Relinquishment Act is the one I'm going to hit on a lot today. This is the one where we still get most of the questions. This is roughly 6 to 7 million acres controlled by the state, and there's some kind of unique classifications with that. The third and the much smaller grouping is the free royalty tracts. How did we get there? I often use this picture to show dating back to 1836 when the land office was created. It was prior to Texas becoming a state. We had two things in great abundance. We had a lot of land and we had a lot of debt. And there was a lot of worry about coming into the Union. Could we even keep the lights on? So there was a proposal made from Texas at that time that said, look, we'll come into the Union, you take our land, in exchange for that, you clear our debt. The federal government, I think, depending upon where you fall on the political spectrum, possibly one of the worst decisions they ever made, came out and looked. I think they started in East Texas and went, yeah, this is all right. We could, you know, maybe this land is worth something. By the time they made it out to West Texas, they said, this land will never be worth anything. So here's what you do, Texas. You come into the land, you come into the Union, you keep your land, and you keep your debt. So we came into the Union unique in owning all of our own lands. What happens today is the General Land Office is in charge of those state lands. So we come in, this is an important thing. The Constitution of 1876 creates the Permanent School Fund. What this essentially did was set aside one half of the public domain and said, this is going to be held in trust in perpetuity. It creates a Permanent School Fund. This is what's going to be an untouchable source to help fund public education in the state.